Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
Our slogan for this year is Show Up, Level Up.
And you'll learn as you grow.
We want everyone to be involved, right? We want students to be part of an activity, of a club. That sense of belonging is super important.
It's okay to not be okay.
Realize, okay, I need to put myself first. I need to worry about my mentality, my time management.
Struggles with mental health don't define you.
If you're worried about someone, if you feel that they need help, please say something. Don't stay silent.
Welcome to Valley Vibes, your show about culture, arts, and happenings in the Imperial Valley from a youth perspective. I'm Dr. Tom Tacky, the creator and executive producer of Valley Vibes. September is Suicide Prevention Month, so today's show looks at student mental health topics and suicide prevention.
Welcome to Valley Vibes.
Today we have an episode about Suicide Prevention Month and mental health. Today we have two special guests, but as your co-host, I'm Grace Estelle Navarro.
I'm Isaac Baiza.
I'm Juan Carreon.
And today with our two special guests, they're going to introduce themselves.
Hi, my name is Carolina Gonzalez, and I am a school-based mental health specialist here at Central Union High School.
Hi, I'm Tania Saldivar, counselor here at Central Union High School.
So, with our counselor and our mental health specialist, we wanted to get their opinions and their ideas on what mental health could be and what Suicide Prevention Month is about. So, as a counselor, what do you think students experience when it comes to mental health?
Well, first, I would like to tell you a little bit about the counseling position, just so that we connect it to what we are discussing right now. So, my experience as a school counselor with students first is centered around building trust. I want to make sure that the students have a safe space, that they know that they can trust someone, and from there we can provide those resources that are necessary when it comes to the issue that we are discussing. I want to make sure that they are there and that they don't feel that there's any judgment when it comes to this very touchy subject, right? It's a very difficult conversation to have, but we want to make sure that they are offered the support that is needed and that they are connected to the resources that we have here on campus. So, like I said, the first thing is building that trust so that the students feel that they have someone that they can talk to and that they have a safe space.
Interesting.
In my experience as a mental health specialist here at Central, I have found that students tend to be very resilient, but they also carry a lot. They're carrying a lot of stress from school, pressure from social media, family challenges, and sometimes even grief and loss. And I'm not talking about grief and loss as in they lost a parent or a family member. I'm talking about sometimes loss of a friendship, loss of a pet. It's more than just losing, like someone passing away, right? Yeah. What I've seen is that when students have a safe space to talk, like Ms. Saldivar mentioned, whether that's with a counselor, a teacher, even through activities that help them express themselves, it makes a huge difference. The most rewarding part for me is watching students realize that they're not alone and that there are healthy ways to cope. It reminds me every day that that's so important to having these conversations, including these podcasts, right, about mental health and to make support accessible for young people, which is why I'm here, why Ms. Olivar is here, and even you guys as the why you created these podcasts, right?
For sure. Yeah.
So going back to what you said with coping, how do you think students recover from depression or having mental health issues?
Well, there's various ways. Some people go to therapy. Some people go to mental health hospitals. It depends on the severity of their case. Some people don't even have to do that, and they have support from their families. Some people need medication. It just depends on the severity of their situation, right? Depending how resilient they are, the support, the severity, it just depends. It's case by case.
And going back, going to ask you, Ms. Salvador, going back to having that family support, what do you think about those kids that don't have that support and come to you for that support?
Well, like I said, I want to make sure that we are providing that safe space, and students do visit us for various reasons. It could be relationship conflicts. It could be conflicts with students, right? With their peers, with their friends, and sometimes with their families. And like you said, they might not feel that they have that support at home. So that's when we want to make sure that we have all these resources. And the first thing to do when it comes to this is talking about it. Right? Having a space where they feel that they are listened to. And then they have all these resources here on campus. Not only on campus, we have resources outside of campus that we can do referrals for them. So they need to understand that there is help here for them.
Mm-hmm. So going back from that, any like type of personal experiences that you've gone through as a counselor, from just from the kids being down to maybe them opening up to you for different reasons, just anything in particular?
One of the things that I do want to share when we're talking about this topic is that not one story, I mean, not one, when you meet with the students, you notice that every student is unique. And their recovery story, their journey, the background, everything is unique. So I think that's one of the biggest things that I'm learning from as a counselor and my personal experience is that we need to understand that everyone is unique and that I strive to help them on that unique path to getting help or to moving forward and making sure that they are okay. I think that's one of the things of personal experience that I've noticed is that everyone is unique when it comes to recovery, when it's come to telling their stories.
You have been listening to Valley Vibes, where today we are talking with CUH's counselors, Carolina Gonzalez and Tania Salivar, about student mental health topics.
Yeah. And going back to everything being unique or everyone being unique in their own way, I know in some cases, students feel like insecure in a way. They feel down about themselves, and they let that take a mental toll on their self, within their personalities and stuff. A lot of kids stay quiet. A lot of kids stay to themselves, or they have one teacher that they trust, and they go to that one teacher. But I feel like mental health rates, when it comes to suicide, goes up a lot with suicide in high school, because it does come down to the cliques in high school. It comes down to bullying in high school. It comes to being judged or not feeling good enough. And some kids distract themselves with that with sports. So how do you guys think sports can have an impact on a student's life? Do you think it could make it better, or do you think it could make it worse?
Well, clubs and sports can be really helpful for mental health because it gives students a sense of belonging, purpose, and even a routine, like a schedule. Being part of a team or group, like I said, belonging, it helps people make friends, it builds confidence, relieves stress through an activity. It can be part of like a coping mechanism, something healthy for us, right? Those connections can be really proactive when someone is struggling with their mental health. And as we know, it helps with our physical health as well. But it's also true that clubs and sports can feel stressful at times. Why? Because we may feel left out if we're not number one, if we're not the best one, especially if the pressure to perform gets too heavy. I've had students come to me and say, hey, I'm not number one. We didn't win. I got injured. I'm not part of the team anymore. They compare.
I know that one firsthand.
Yeah. And I've had students here at Central come to me because of that. In those cases, instead of supporting mental health, they can add to the stress. So, you know, the key is to balance, to take care of ourselves. When sports and clubs are supportive, fun, and focus on growth, they're usually a big positive impact for our mental health. When the pressure becomes too much, it's important to talk about it, set those boundaries, those healthy boundaries, and remember that your own worth isn't defined by a sport, by people, or by performance. It's on your own and how it makes you feel, right?
I agree on that. Coming from a student athlete as well, my perspective on that we're basically on the same page when it comes to injuries or it comes to just going back to, like I said, clicks. It's also in sports. I think it could have a mental toll on one's mental health, but it also is a coping mechanism, how you guys said. Like, I know I like to do sports because I like to get away sometimes from what's going on at home or what's going on at school. It helps. It helps distract. It helps you get away a little bit. But it could also add to the stress. It could also be stressful how... It could also be stressful how I have to go to practice or I have color guard or I still have homework. I still have to do this. Being involved in a lot could also be overwhelming.
Yeah.
And for students who are trying to do everything in their power to just stay away from home, maybe, I feel like that could also take a mental toll. But I also think it's all about balance.
Yeah, most definitely. Sorry.
And I do want to add to that because it's, when we're talking about school balancing, we want everyone to be involved, right? Yeah. We want students to be part of an activity, of a club. That sense of belonging is super important to help us with whatever we are dealing with. But we also need to recognize that time management. And right now it's when we're learning that.
Yeah.
Students are learning how to manage their time wisely.
Right.
But also we need to keep in mind having conversations about this, talking to your parents.
Exactly.
Parents need to be aware how impactful it is when they want their students to be successful in school, but also be part of a team.
Yes.
Not only that, your coaches. Talk to your coaches. They need to recognize the burnout. Teachers. We have students who are student athletes.
Yeah.
They want to be part of everything.
Yeah.
And it's exciting. We want that too. But we also have to recognize that students go through burnout.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that the well-being of a student, we need to prioritize that when it comes to balancing these two.
You have been listening to Valley Vibes, where today we are talking with CUH's counselors, Carolina Gonzalez and Tania Salivar, about student mental health topics.
Yes. Yeah, no, balance, and as you guys said, balance and timing. Me, personally, my sophomore year, I had football practice, and then right after football practice, I had baseball practice. And right after baseball practice, I would go over to Mex for boxing. So, and depending on the time of day it was, or whatever day throughout the week it was, I wouldn't get home till 1:30 in the morning, 2 in the morning, and I still had to worry about homework. So from there, I've been doing that for a couple of months, and then that's when I would come to school tired. I would not do assignments. My grades would start slipping. So I, at first, was very quiet about it. I did not want to talk. I didn't want to talk to my parents about it because I felt like they would be upset to me, and I didn't want to let them down. But it was until, I guess you can say, hit rock bottom, that I started to realize, okay, I need to put myself first. I need to worry about my mentality, my time management. And from there, I talked to my parents about, okay, what if I maybe just don't go to boxing and mechs for, let's say, three days out of the week, you know? I managed my time. And they were very open about it. They understood where I was coming from. They see the difficulties I had. And so we cut off boxing for some time throughout the weeks. And then from there, baseball. Right after baseball, I would go home for a little bit, take 2 hours to do homework, ready, rest, all that. And then I had the rest of the time to myself. But time management is very heavy as a teenager, you know, because we have a lot of stuff to do. Yeah.
Of course, yeah.
And I think that's great that you were able to communicate that with your parents and that your parents were understanding. But unfortunately, some students don't have that communication with their parents. I think Ms. Salivar can attest to that as well, that students come and they talk to us and they say, like, I can't talk to my parents about that. We try to give them tips like, hey, well, can you communicate that with your mom, with your dad? And they're like, no, because they're not open to it or I'll get in trouble.
Yeah.
For me, you know, mental health has been something that I've had to pay a lot of attention to, especially after losing a parent and at a very young age. I wasn't a teenager, but I was pretty young when my mom passed away, and I had an absent parent. So I kind of grew up since my early 20s without, kind of on my own, right? That kind of loss brings a lot of sadness and can make everyday stress and anxiety even heavier. And I think that's when my panic attacks started. Right now it's manageable. Why? Because I learned how to cope with it through healthy coping mechanisms. But there were times where I felt really overwhelmed to the point where I felt like I was carrying a lot more than I could handle. That's when I had to learn that it was okay to talk about how I was feeling, what I was thinking, instead of keeping them inside. So I had to lean onto my true friends. And there's a difference between your acquaintances and, you need to learn who are your friends and who are your acquaintances and who's just there, right?
Your trusting circle, right?
Yes.
That circle that you can trust.
And you'll learn as you grow, right? You're obviously your family. And again, practicing those healthy coping skills. I also realized that asking for help, whether it's with, again, your friends and family or professional help, like your counselor, myself, mental health specialist, or even as far as, you know, your teacher, security guards, admin, whoever you feel comfortable asking for help, that's okay. It's not considered a weakness. It doesn't mean, you know, you're crazy. It doesn't even mean that there is something wrong. It just means that in this moment, you need help. You need help. You need support. It's actually a way for you to stay strong, for you to stay resilient. I also found that small routines like exercising, eating healthy, getting enough sleep, and just taking a quiet moment for myself, that makes a big difference in managing my stress and my anxiety.
Yeah, for sure.
Sometimes for me, stepping away from my family helps me a lot, and my family is aware of that. My fiance and my stepkids, they know that when I'm alone in my room with my dogs, they know I need my space, and they know not to bother me. And I share all this because I want students to know that they're not alone. If you feel anxious, stressed, or even if you're dealing with a loss, it's okay. It's okay to ask for help. Struggles with mental health don't define you. Right? You're reaching out and finding support can really help you move through it, okay? And recover from it, and just it'll make you a stronger individual.
You have been listening to Valley Vibes, where today we are talking with CUH's counselors, Carolina Gonzalez and Tania Salivar, about student mental health topics.
I have a question too for both of you. I'm guilty of this, but has a student ever said to you, or kid or whatever, I don't want to tell friends or family my problems because I feel like a burden?
Yes, it's a very common sentiment, I would say. And as an adult, we can also feel those type of emotions. And because we want to make sure that we are able to handle whatever it is, but sometimes it's impossible. We need that help.
Yeah.
But that negative connection to it, we need to learn to manage that, because we don't want you to think that you are that, because immediately it's a negative. We want you to know that, no, you're not a burden. You need the help. That's basically what's happening. And during that time, you are not seeing that because of everything that's going on. But having someone that you can trust, going back to friends, families, we know that we have people around us that have struggled with mental health. And that family, like I said, friends, families, adults, people around us, colleagues, might comment on something similar. So it is a very common thing that we hear.
Yeah, I would agree with Ms. Oliva that it is something that we hear often. And a lot of the times, you know, they come from these things called core beliefs, where there are things that are taught to us either by because they're told to us from a young age, or they're taught to us through behaviors. So they don't even want to tell us, like, I don't want to tell you because I don't want to burden you, right? So we have to tell them, we have to explain, like, no, that's why we're here, right? That's why we're here, to listen to you, to provide this safe space to talk about your feelings and your thoughts and how you're feeling, and to process it. So, but more than anything, I think what's important is to build that relationship and that trust with the student to open up. I think that's more important before, in order for the student to open up.
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes weeks before the student feels comfortable opening up.
Exactly, because sometimes, we wish we could be with the students often, but sometimes we can. We know the student population on our campus, so having that circle around you is gonna help.
Yeah.
Something that stood out to me when you were talking was healthy coping ways. I wanna hear both of you guys, have you guys ever experienced a student where they were using not so healthy ways to cope? I am talking about drugs, maybe stealing, or, you know, any of those senses.
Of course. I mean, inside and outside campus, there's unhealthy ways to cope with our mental health, with our struggles. Like you mentioned, drugs, alcohol, self-harming, binge eating, those are all unhealthy ways of dealing with our emotions and our struggles. If you are struggling or if you are coping with unhealthy coping mechanisms, please reach out to us or to the counselors or with someone that you trust here on the campus. That way we can try to connect you with the right resources.
And we were discussing recovery, and all of this is part of it, right? First is talking about it and being very honest with yourself and speaking about that struggle. Part of that recovery is what I've seen is some students have that ability to bounce back when they are in different difficult situations or difficult challenges. Others might need that help. Some can adapt and some can bounce back, but others need that additional support, professionals. So I think, yeah, making sure we have that trusting relationship where the students open up, because yes, we've known about unhealthy coping skills. So we want to make sure we are there to provide them the healthy ones.
So we talked about all types of help during school, but what type of help can you search for outside of school?
So I want to make sure that students remember that in back of their IDs, they do have information that directs them to hotlines. Not sure if you guys know that. Are you serious? Grab your ID right now and check it out for me, please. But the hotlines are there. Please know that there is help outside of our campus, and it's a 24/7 service. It's immediate response. And maybe that phone call is a lifeline, because we do need students to know that they are supported outside of our campus. They are professionals, and so look at your ID, please, everyone. Make sure that you have that access. But we also have that technology at our hands, that phone. And also, and we go back to that circle. You need to have someone that you can trust. A trusting adult outside of your campus is super important. It's part of this safety plan that we need to implement with all of our students. So make sure that you have that trusting adult that you can reach out to. But the hotlines are there 24/7. Make contact.
So the number for the hotline that should be listed on back of your ID is 988. We also have the Imperial County Behavioral Health phone number, which is 442-265-1525. That one should be available 24/7. That is not an emergency phone number, but it is available. I don't believe it's 24/7, but it is available throughout the week. Obviously, if it is an emergency, you do want to dial 911. And I also recommend downloading Soluna app, S-O-L-U-N-A. It is a free app, completely confidential. It is only available here in California. It's available for the youth population, so it is applicable to you guys. And it helps for mental health symptoms, right? But the mental health hotlines can be very effective, especially in moments of crisis. They do give people immediate access to trained listeners, like Ms. Salivar mentioned, who are available 24/7, even when our friends and our families or even us, our school staff members, might not be available. For some, just knowing that someone who will pick up the phone, listen, respond to a chat without judgment can be life-saving, which is what's important, especially when someone who's struggling with suicidal thoughts. That said, hotlines aren't a replacement for ongoing care like therapy, medication support, even supportive relationships like our friends and our family, or our school resources like our counselors and us mental health specialists. Think of them as a safety net in that moment, right? Especially during weekends, holidays, so on. They're there to help in urgent moments and to connect with someone to the next step in getting support. For high school students, the most powerful thing to remember is to reach out, right? It doesn't mean you're weak, like I mentioned earlier. It means you're taking a strong step towards safety and healing to get stronger. Hotlines are one of several tools available, and they really can make a difference when someone feels like they have nowhere else to turn. It's to make us more resilient, like I said, to heal, and they're there to support us.
And going back to that, right? If you're worried about someone, if you feel that they need help, please say something. Don't stay silent. I think that's where we all need to work when it comes to suicide prevention. Is don't stay silent. Say something. Reach out for help.
So, as we all talked about how suicide and mental health could take a toll on one's personal and mental health, we just want to let everyone know with this podcast that it's okay to speak up and there is help out there. It's okay if you're scared. It's okay if you're feeling like you're being a burden. You're not. We want everyone to know here at Central and every student, individuals, and you know what? It doesn't even go to students. It could also go to teachers who are getting overwhelmed with their work and, you know, are scared to speak because they're supposed to be a safe space maybe in their head to students. But no. If a teacher is not okay and the students rely on them, it's a domino effect.
Yeah.
And we just want to make sure that everyone here at Central knows that it's okay to not be okay as long as you speak up.
Mm-hmm.
It's better to speak up and take that step than it is to take your life. And we want to make that clear.
And I just want to say that one thing I always keep in the back of my mind is that suicide is a permanent solution for a temporary problem. That's something I live by and is something I always say to everyone that is feeling down or something. So I just wanted to point that out there. If you need help, reach out. We set hotlines. We've gave you solutions. We have two amazing counselors here that will give you help. So please reach out if you need any help.
And with that being said, we wanted to close this podcast off with a good note and just tell everyone who has struggled in the past and who is in current recovery or has recovered, just congratulations because you got through something that most don't. Mm-hmm. And you're doing it for those who didn't. Weren't able to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
To follow up with our experts, students Isaac and Aaliyah sat down to discuss their personal thoughts and experiences with suicide prevention.
Good morning. My name is Isaac Baiza.
Good morning. My name is Aaliyah.
And today's topic, we're talking about suicide prevention. Now, Aaliyah, tell me what you think about suicide prevention.
I think that suicide prevention is a very important topic to talk about, especially in our generation these days, because after COVID, people were facing a lot of these emotions with all these signs of depression and everything. And then I just feel it's a great way to feel people safe and feel people heard, especially in a time like this.
Yeah. And talking about COVID, especially how parents, kids, and other types of family members would be passing away from COVID. Mm-hmm. And there's not much we can do.
Yeah.
Like, especially on lockdown. That one.
That was.
That one. Lockdown was big.
It was something.
But yeah, lockdown, like, there's not really much you can do, mm-hmm. like, especially seeking out help physically and stuff like that. Now, talking about COVID and stuff, let's skip over to how would you be able to handle a situation like that? Let's say you're a mother, right? Mm-hmm. And your teenage daughter, for example, is having signs of depression, change, and is all around, like, not being able to hold within herself her emotions, and she's just depressed. How would you feel in that situation? What would you do?
Of course, I would be concerned about my daughter, and I wouldn't put them on the spot, of course, because it's a super uncomfortable topic. And first, I would just bring over my daughter, like, to my room just to have a conversation with her one-on-one, whether it's in the car or at night, like, just with her alone, because you don't know what she's going to say or how she's going to react. And just listen without judging. Please do not judge as well, because it's just going to make... Yeah, it's super heartbreaking and a very uncomfortable topic, especially for the daughter.
Yes, I feel you. Now, skip over to another topic. Do you have any types of incidents or any types of past experiences, any types of past experiences with any types of suicide or depression?
I do, especially during COVID time. It was a very difficult time, especially during lockdown. It was really rough, and I did show signs of, like, depression and everything. And my family did call me out in it, and that's what I mean by do not call out the kid, because it's super uncomfortable and you don't know how they feel. And eventually I did finally, like, get better. And what I did was just, I finally did open up to my mom about it. And, well, I tried to put myself more out there, like, hanging out with more friends, and that really did help me.
Yeah. So what would you say your biggest accomplishment from that was? Like, seeking out help-wise.
It was...
expressing yourself to your mom, being out with friends, going out more.
It was going out more.
Going out more with your friends? Yeah, because the environment around your little village, like, you can say.
Yeah, they do.
That's key to a person, especially feelings-wise, because someone can change you, mm-hmm. honestly.
Really, a lot.
Like, emotional-wise, especially when you're feeling down, there's always someone that's going to be able to bring you back mm-hmm. up. Always put a smile on your face, you know, but you should always have that good person, good people around mm-hmm. you. And honestly, talking about that, that's a key thing too with kids with depression or suicide. They probably have no one around them. Yeah. They need people. And that's why us as students and friends and people, we need to be with them more. We need to consider these people for, oh, they're by themselves. Oh, they're lonely. They're always sad, you know. We, as humans, we need to uplift other people. That way we can have less outcomes of suicide, less outcomes of mental health issues and stuff like that. Shout out to Imperial County Behavioral Health, because I know they do an amazing job over there, especially with students over here at Central. And that they just do all around a good job. They're doing God's work, honestly. All right, now I'm going to ask you, how would you help someone in need?
If I were that person, like, that the person came to me for help, I would listen to them first, listen to everything. Like, first, just let them say everything they need to say before saying anything, giving any advice, because you never know if it's going to be the advice they may need. And just literally just listen to them. Don't take the whole situation seriously, and just don't judge them at all.
Thank you, Aaliyah, for coming in and telling your story and speaking out on ways to prevent or comfort someone struggling with suicide intentions.
Thank you for having me.
That was Isaac and Aaliyah talking about suicide prevention. Next, we got the CUHS attendance specialist to discuss the importance of good attendance and how it impacts students' well-being and development.
Hey, Spartans! We are back here again. We got your truancy officer, Ms. Gonzalez, and attendance specialist, Ms. Cassio, your go-to for all things attendance. We're 1 month into the school year, and we're so excited to see you building routines, finding your rhythm, and showing up every day ready to learn.
That's right. September has flown by, and we want to take a moment to talk about why attendance matters early in the year. And we've got a super sweet announcement, literally. It's about our attendance snow cone challenge for this month.
So basically, what we want to go over is why attendance matters early. So here's the deal. The first month of school sets the tone for your entire year. Research shows that students who miss even a few days early on are more likely to fall behind. Missing just 2 days a month can add up to almost 20 days by the end of the year. That's wild. That's like missing an entire month of learning. I don't even think anyone at work is allowed to miss that much.
No, absolutely not. And the thing is this, attendance isn't just about grades. It's about connection. So when you show up, you build stronger relationships with your teachers, you stay in the loop with your assignments, and you're part of the activities and events that make high school fun. High school is supposed to be fun, guys. So good attendance builds habits that employers and colleges look for later on in life. So think of it as, you know, just a stepping stone from where you're going to be eventually. And missing school, it's not going to be allowed when you grow up. You're not going to be allowed to miss work all the time.
Yeah, and then, like, when it comes to colleges, I mean, I don't know about you, Miss Cassio, but I remember one time I was late to one of my classes and the door was locked.
Oh, yeah.
They don't care. They will lock that door on you.
Yeah, so it goes the same for tardies. Tardies is a big deal, too. We've talked about this before. It's about, you know, showing respect to your teachers and to your classmates, your peers. Show up on time, guys, and enjoy high school. That's what it's about.
And then you always get those like, oh, but teacher, it's because this and that. Like, I can't get to school on time because of my little brother, my little sister. Or they take too long. Oh, it's my mom, it's my dad. All these excuses, right? We also know that sometimes life throws challenges your way. Maybe it's transportation, maybe it's family responsibilities, or maybe it's just struggling to wake up on time. You are not alone. It happens to a lot of us. Lots of students face these, even us as adults.
Exactly. And that's why we are here to remind you guys, if you're struggling, talk to us. You can talk to a counselor, a teacher, or attendance staff. We are here to help you. Just don't wait until you're falling way behind. We can connect you with the right resources, whether that's for your tutoring, mental health support, or just you need help managing your time better. That's exactly why we're here, to help.
And speaking of counselors, don't forget, we have Counselor of the Day. If you're going through something, reach out. Go make an appointment. If you feel that you need more assistance that's more in-depth, more structured, where they take you out once a month or so to speak to you and check up on you, we have a mental health specialist here on campus. So make sure you contact a counselor, even myself or Miss Cassio, and we can make that reference for you, referral. And we have a family resource center where they have a lot of resources for you and your family, for students that are struggling either with placement, finding a home, anything like that. Things happen, and it's all confidential. We're not going to be out there letting people know, hey, so-and-so got evicted from their home, and now they're homeless, and they're receiving help. No, it's nothing about that. It's just trying to help you out, because we totally understand that there are issues outside of school that cause you to not want to be here, make it difficult for you to be here. We have Closet X, where we have clothes available for all students. And then also, you know, making sure that you get all these resources that we have available to you. The reason why we have all that is because we want to make sure you succeed.
Right, exactly. So we know that you know, as kids, it's hard for you guys to maybe come and ask for help, but just know the help is there. So if you ever have any questions or any thoughts about those challenges you may be facing, please reach out, let us know, and we can tell you, if we can't help, we can tell you exactly where you can get that help that you need.
Yeah. And, you know, Now I think it's a good time to talk about something fun. For the month of September, every student with perfect attendance, that means no absences, no period absences. Period absences are when you're cutting class or you're later than 30 minutes. And no tardies. If you meet all these requirements, you will receive a free snow cone for our snow cone challenge at the end of the month. That was a mouthful.
Yeah, that's right, guys. So show up every day in September. You'll cool off with the sweet treat on us. So it's still hot in September, guys. Fall's here. It feels like fall, y'all, but it's still hot. So we're still offering snow cones because it's the Imperial Valley. And we're going to have snow cones probably up until October here because it's that hot. But so, yeah, the day for the snow cone celebration is going to be Friday, September 26th during both lunches. We're going to be passing out the tickets to the winners, so keep your eyes open and ears open for those. Passes are going to be given out during advisory. So talk to your classmates, talk to your friends, talk to your teachers, you know, represent your class, represent your school, and show up.
Yeah, and make sure you're in that advisory class because that's probably the number one where some of y'all like to go somewhere else. And if you're not there, you can't receive the ticket. And if you do not have a ticket and you show up and you tell me, oh, you can check my attendance. I have perfect attendance. Sorry, no ticket, no snow cone.
That's right. So make sure you're there, guys. If you don't get it, that's it. That's your one chance to get that ticket.
So think about it, because our slogan for this year is show up, level up. So with the snow cone, it's show up, level up, and snow cone up.
You worked hard on that one. You worked hard on that one, Liz.
Dad joke right there.
All right, guys. So before we wrap up, here's some quick attendance tips that we wanted to help you guys with staying on track. So first one, set up a morning routine, right? If you don't have a morning routine, you're more than likely going to be running late. Lay out your clothes, pack your backpack the night before, and charge your phone the night before. I'm guilty of not doing that sometimes, and I'm running late in the morning. Use an alarm as your backup. If you snooze, you lose. There's one of my jokes now. So set a second alarm across the room. That makes you get up and out of bed, all right? If you hit snooze and it's right next to your bed, you're more than likely to fall back asleep. Set another alarm away from your bed, maybe in your restroom, so that you have to get up, hit snooze, and start getting ready for school. Communicate with us. If something comes up, let your teacher or the attendance office know right away. If you guys are sick, if you're going to be out for a long period of time, for a couple of days, please let us know as soon as possible so that we can try to find a way to help you, okay? And if you are running late or you are not feeling well in the morning, please make sure your parent is calling the attendance office to let them know that you will be coming in, that you will just be coming in a little late. And lastly, check your attendance. Stay aware of your record in your student portal so there are no surprises. I have students coming in all the time saying, I was marked absent for this class, but I was there. And I always tell them, all right, it's time to communicate with your teacher. Thank you for reaching out to me. I will reach out to the teacher as well, but communicate with your teachers, guys. So if you know you were there, make sure you're getting the credit for that. You don't want to miss out on the snow cones.
Yeah, especially our seniors, because we have what, Eileen?
We have senior activities coming up at the end of the year. So we want to make sure you guys are participating in those. I did let our seniors know this year, no more than two. I will repeat myself. No more than two full day unexcused absences to participate in senior activities.
Or 14 period absences. That's, we are right, going to be looking into that as well.
Yeah, so no cutting class, seniors. And make sure if you are out, parent is excusing your absences or you are bringing a medical note. We want to make sure you guys participate in all these fun activities. Grad night was one of the best nights of my life, guys. Don't miss out on it. If you have the opportunity to go, you should absolutely go. But don't let your attendance get in the way of that.
Yeah, and make sure you keep track of our Saturday schools, okay? Especially because that is one way to clear up those absences so you can still participate in all the activities you want to be a part of. Also, a reminder, when Saturday school does come around, it is not necessary for you to have a pass to be able to go. It is open to anybody who wants to make up absences or who wants to go to get additional tutoring. It is an additional support, especially if you're falling behind, to get those grades up. But all right, Spartans, that is it for us today. But just remember, every day you show up, you're building your future. And this September, you could be walking away with a free snow cone just for doing your part. So make sure to show up to level up.
So let's make September strong, guys. Show up, level up, and we'll see you at the snow cone celebration. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us today as we talked about mental health, suicide prevention, and the importance of good attendance. I'm Grace, and we'll see you guys next time.
This program was produced and brought to you by Spartan Sound Productions. Special thanks to our guests, ICOE school-based mental health specialist Carolina Gonzalez, Central Union High School counselor Tanya Saldivar, Central Union High School attendance specialist Aislinn Casio and Elizabeth Gonzalez, and Central Union High School students Grace, Juan, Isaac, and Aaliyah. Thanks also to Dr. Thomas Tacky, creator and executive producer of Spartan Sound Productions, the administration of Central Union High School, Mr. Javier Fimbres, and Power 98 for hosting us, and to you, the listeners.